Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor Talk Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets, and I'm here with Angela Bachman today.
Thanks for joining us on this lovely Friday afternoon.
We are having lots of fun. Check us out online if you miss anything, www.theunionedge.com. We've got Facebook. We've got Twitter. Hook up with us. We are happy to chat with you and see what you've got on your mind.
Yes. And right now we have Buck Gino from Work in Progress Radio, who has a lot on his mind. Buck, welcome back.
It's always good to be with you ladies.
It's always good to have you.
So how's the weather in Pennsylvania today?
It is insanely muggy.
Yes, it's hot and humid.
You can literally breathe in and you feel the moisture in your lungs.
Yeah. Tough on some older folks and the people with asthma, I would imagine. You
know. I didn't sign up to live in Florida. I live in Pennsylvania.
Sign up to live in Florida. Well,
global warming isn't real.
That's exactly what I said last night.
Yeah, well, but it's here we are mid-August, so it can change at any time.
So. Yeah, it's always hot in August. So
that's why they call it the dog days, right?
Oof. Yeah, I think so. So what's going on with you, Buck?
Well, you know, I was kind of floating through the internet today, and I was kind of, you know, because it seems like everybody, you know, all talks always go back to the economy. And I ran across an interesting piece written by a gentleman by the name of Chad Cushman. He's the vice president of Indian Trails. It's based out of Wausau. That's over by Flint. But it's what that is it's a bus is similar to like Greyhound.
So yeah, it's like a charter bus company.
Charter bus, yeah. And there, he was putting out this article about how that for basically they're really puzzled and frustrated because they're for months they've been looking for people to take over these jobs as motor coach drivers, and they need what they say they need about thousands of truck drivers are needed to run this business and. And they're also talking about how they're, and I would argue that if they are, they should probably just call the Teamsters.
Yeah,
that's a good idea.
Good idea. But go on.
A short sentence.
I like
it. They're talking about the employers, basically all of the skilled trades, such as plumbers and pipe fitters, electricians and things like that, are struggling to get help. And this was really strange to me. There's over 4,000 openings for police officers in the state of Michigan.
Wow.
And so, and they're getting to, and their argument is that, you know, they're not talking about minimum wage jobs. They're talking about jobs that pay somewhere between $45,000 and $55,000 a year with benefits. That is the key that the underlying here is the key is that is if you're full time.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
The argument is that how many of these people are actually full time? And then, you know, you have to commit to being, out of town for a couple of days a week and things like that. But what I find interesting is that they go through this whole spiel, and I remember, it was got to be 2012, or the end of 2012 or 2013, our illustrious governor created what they called a skilled training fund. And this was supposed to basically take care of these so-called problems with getting workers and getting employers a steady staff of people that are, can help them move their business forward. But also, you know, it's really interesting that they gave all this money, roughly, $25 million. And they basically gave it to the employers and some of the community colleges, and they said, okay, go out and train these people for these jobs. And here we are now, 2017, they're going to add another $5 million to that. So my question is, if they're not training workers for these jobs, they still have these companies complaining about how they can't get good help, then what's happening to the money then? What are they doing with $30 million if they're supposed to be training workers for these jobs? Seems to me we shouldn't have any of that problem. If, of course, in fact, if the money really is going to training.
That's right. A very valid point.
Because if you don't have anyone signing up for training, then...
Where's the money going?
Interesting.
Right. Hmm. And through my past experience, you know, you have all these... different types of organizations, and I'll say some of the, you know, like I said before, the community college, I don't want to bash on them particularly, but whenever there's money available, they've already, you know, they have their, you know, their hands out, and yeah. This was supposed to be the big answer. They were going to train these people and give them good paying jobs. And, you know, in Michigan, we have over 2.7 million people that are not in the labor force. They're excluded from unemployment rate calculation, and roughly 60% of the population is employed is still looking for work. We talked about this a little bit last week about all these job fairs and everything, where people are getting a job and then running out to the job fair on Saturday to see if they can get a better job. So this tells me that it has to be one thing. It has to be the wages and the benefits, and they don't talk about that much. They often talk about, like I said, they say, okay, we're going to give you between $45,000 and $50,000 a year, but then when it comes down to brass tacks, that doesn't seem to work out that way. Then if you do this, and if you are full-time, and if you come to our company and you work, what they're doing with a lot of these young people are putting them in a job for 6 or 7 months, and the employers are getting a benefit or a credit for that, and then also then at the end of 6 months, they kick them to the curb and get somebody else. So there's a lot of misleading facts in this, and like I said, if people are dissatisfied with the job opportunities, or they're not dissatisfied only with the job opportunities, but they're dissatisfied is they're low paying jobs and no benefits, and here we have a company who's trying to make it seem like it's all on the workers because they're too lazy, and I don't believe that's the case.
I'd be interested to hear the actual specs of what they're actually offering, because it does sound on its face like it's probably a decent job. I mean, he talks about offering benefits, talks about, I mean, the $40,000 to $55,000 could be good or not, depending on what the workload is like.
Right.
So it's kind of, I think it's a little bit hard to make a judgment call, and I'm really curious there's obviously something amiss here, so I'm really curious what it is, whether it's people aren't interested in that type of work, or people, you know, maybe the pay is too low whenever you do divide it all up and break it all down, or, I mean, is it a thing where people are leaving the area, that there's just not a population to sustain a business that needs that many workers to do a travel type of job? I don't know where this is based, or if maybe that's a possibility.
I'm interested to know what their turnover rate looks like.
Yeah, that's
right,
true, too.
Right.
Because that's not something that they really mention in this article, is their turnover rate. Because if you had, you know, a low turnover rate and you had a high retention of employees, I feel like that would be a selling point, because that means, you know, you're providing the employees with enough sustenance and benefits and, you know, a good
the
quality
of
job. Yeah, good work environment that makes them want to stay around. So that's something that wasn't really mentioned, and they mentioned in this article all these, you know, this great, on the outside of, in the face of it, it looks like, you know, a pretty decent middle job to just get in, you know, get some experience, just have a job that's going to pay you your benefits, make sure that you can make your ends meet, things of that nature. That's what something just doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
You know,
but
I don't
maybe
know if you, when I send you these little pieces, I don't know if you get the whole thing, you know, at the bottom of the article, there's the comments, so to speak.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And you know, and it starts off, and you know, you talk, anyway, I'd give away my password. I'm Sun 2, you know, remember the book Art of War?
Yes.
So, but anyway, one of the things that really you hear most from people is, and this tells you how foolish people are, they claim that they blame the whole thing on the welfare system, that people are getting too much free money and they don't want to work.
Right.
And you and I both know that's not the case.
You know.
You know, you have, you know, you, every system has cases, but God darn it, I tell you what, I haven't met many people that are getting county assistance or state assistance that wouldn't give their right arm for a good paying job so that they could be on their own and buy a house and raise their family and live a clean life. I haven't met many people like that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there on that one. And on that note, we are actually at the time for breaks. We've got to take a quick break, but we'll be right back.
We will. And Buck, I'm interested, maybe you could hook us up somehow or another talking with these people. I'd like to get the company's perspective on this too.
All right.
So instead of just speculating, maybe we could get some facts.
There we go. We could get a hold of Mr. Cushman.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
All right, and we will be right back, guys, so stay tuned. I'm Brittany Sheets, and you've been listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.
Medical marijuana has been legal in California since 1996, but today the Drug Enforcement Administration published its decision in the Federal Register to keep classifying it as an illegal drug under federal law. The move means cannabis will remain a Schedule I drug, the highest designation, the same as heroin. Dale Gehringer with the California chapter of the National Organization for Reforming Marijuana Laws thinks the DEA, as a law enforcement agency, shouldn't be responsible for decisions on how to classify drugs.
The DEA wants to continue its unjustified war on marijuana. They have a vested interest in doing so, and like any bureaucracy, they are trying to protect their own power.
The feds say there aren't enough well-executed studies to prove marijuana use is safe, and the DEA did move to facilitate more research by allowing more schools to grow the plants for study, which is good news for the Center for Medicinal Cannabis Research at the University of California, San Diego. Gehringer thinks marijuana should be taken off the controlled substances list altogether, just like alcohol and tobacco. He says the feds were only considering a half measure and then rejected even that.
The measure that the DEA was considering supposedly was just rescheduling to Schedule II, putting marijuana on a level with opium and cocaine and methamphetamine, which are also in Schedule II, and they couldn't even do that much.
42 states and Washington, D.C. have legalized medical marijuana use. Californians will vote in November on whether to legalize it for recreational use. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
Improve your life. Join a union. Interested? Just ask us. We will show you how. TheUnionEdge.com.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard, so you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
You don't need to get a second job as a stuntman. You just need FeedThePig.org. Don't get left behind. Get tips and tools at FeedThePig.org. Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
When is the best time to talk to your family about staying in touch during a disaster? When floodwaters reach your door? When wildfires are engulfing the edge of your neighborhood? Or an earthquake is destroying buildings? Or is the best time, perhaps, today? During a disaster, you may not be able to stay in touch with your family or friends as easily as you think. Go to ready.gov/communicate and make your emergency plan today. Don't wait. Communicate. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow-drying, more time texting?
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
It's me, your heart. High blood pressure is serious, and if you think I'm just going to keep ticking away, you're wrong. I can quit whenever I want, but I like my job. Just treat me better. Maybe we can do some exercise on occasion? After all, we're in this together.
Don't let your heart quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get yours to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio. I'm Angela Bachman here with Brittany Sheets.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in and joining us. We've been having lots of fun talking about all kinds of different things. And right now, joining us back again, we've got Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. Buck, welcome back.
It's always a pleasure to be with you, ladies. We really enjoy participating on the program.
We enjoy talking to you too, Buck.
Yeah. So before the break, we were talking about the fact that here in Michigan, one of the bus lines of that, an issue with attracting with the employees. And I think it's really the simple thing is that if you can't get employees for $55,000 a year, then you're going to have to up the ante.
Sure. True.
That's the way it works in the business world, right? I don't think anybody would argue that. If you can't get anybody to do a job for $50,000, and then you may have to make it $60,000, and maybe that will attract more people, because we all talk about that kind of being a lot of money, but if you're a couple that are married, and you say you have one or two children, and you have rent, you have daycare, you have all these other things that you're trying to do, it's not a lot of money.
Especially if it's a job that takes you away from home for days at a time, so you might have extra expenses, and also just want more compensation for that.
Exactly. So maybe we can do. I'll send out an email to this guy and see if we can get him to come on the air and give his slant on it. So
I think that would be a good idea. I'd definitely like to hear more about the other side of the thought here.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk a little bit, too, about the candidates visiting Detroit this week. What's going on there?
Well, we have both candidates. You're actually presenting their economic messages. Excuse me. Trump was in Detroit Monday. And to be honest with you, it sounded basically like a broken record. It's kind of the same Republican economic idea that we've heard thousands of times before, trade agreements, cutting taxes for the wealthy, and then helping the economy grow through tax simplification, which basically means raise taxes on the middle class and give tax breaks to the rich. Mrs. Clinton's speech was in Warren on Thursday, and she kind of did the same thing. It was kind of the same thing that we've heard from the Democrats before in regards to championing the small businesses and, fighting for the little guy, so to speak. And she talked a little bit about the infrastructure. And we all know that our bridges and our roads and everything else, sewer and water, we don't have, and especially in Michigan, we know about the water. There's a lot of money and a lot of jobs to be created there. There were some differences, though, in the speech that caught my eye. First and foremost, that when Mrs. Clinton was speaking, there was no one thrown out. What I mean by that is when Mr. Trump was here, they had he was interrupted 14 or 15 times, and they had to throw people out because, obviously people are, upset about Mr. Trump and his ideas and the things he says. So they're a little more vocal in these what you call protests. Mm-hmm. You got to give it to Mrs. Clinton, with all the stuff that she has that they beat her up with, she's a lot better at staying on message than Mr. Trump is. And so, like I said, at least in her speech, I guess, she identifies the problems and then also offers solutions. So, like I said, I just think that I think Mrs. Clinton's greatest asset is that she's not Trump.
Yes.
And so, like I said, it turned out to be, and they actually built a little wall around Mr. Trump. You might have heard, I think I sent you a little blurb about how they were going to build a wall around the economic, their building there at the Economic Development Place in Detroit. So, quite interesting. But like I said, here a guy goes and does this, and then within 24 hours, he's making all these references to assassination and all these other things. So I think that you're going to see a lot of things come about here in the next 3 or 4 weeks. I understand there's a big powwow today with the Republicans trying to shame Donald Trump into going back on, getting on message. But I don't think it's a possibility.
I don't think he's capable of getting back on message at this point, because they've tried. It was funny. My sister and I were having a conversation about this the other night, and we almost felt a little bit bad for the people working for the Trump campaign, because, imagine trying to wrangle this guy.
Yeah.
Imagine this. Every 2 seconds, he goes out there, and he goes off script. You just imagine some poor person in the back who wrote that script throwing his hands in the air, just going, "I quit. There's nothing else I can do with this. I quit." And then
literal
the next
face
day,
palm, yeah, every day.
Then the next day, he's walking back whatever whatever it was he just said, or just, you know, stamping down harder on it, like, hey, you know, I'm going to stick my flag in this, and this is going to be my mountain. And it's just like, what are you doing? Like, you just watch this whole thing unfold, and it's everyone just says, like, how can it get worse? How can it get worse? Stop asking how or why. That you always, you never ask why. You don't ask why, because of then, you know, it'll just one-up itself. You just take it as it is. We don't need to push this any further than it's already going, because it's already going haywire as it is.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. He said there's a lot of people have left that campaign for that just exact reason, is that there's just no, they talk about having a campaign manager and they talk about having all these surrogates, but it's Mr. Trump that guides the ship, and you can never know when he's going to say or what he's going to do or who he's going to say it to. And so, like I said, it's an interesting scenario. And like I said, we could argue that it would, it sounds like what we call business as usual, I guess, when they campaign. You know, but the thing of it is that I noticed the biggest difference is that what she talks about is what benefits us the most. And like we talked about it, Mr. Trump basically can't stick to a message or whatever that message is, you know. And to be honest with you, you look at these polls and, these seems like everything shifts in the wind. If somebody spills a Slurpee at the 7-Eleven, a poll's taken about how people are mad about it.
Yeah.
But I think, really, if you think about it, it's just like we talked about in the article that we just talked about, is the people who couldn't get people to go to work for $55,000 or $60,000 a year. You know, really, if you look at America, all in all, I think you've seen a group of people here in this country, they're really tired of the controversy. All they want to do is work hard and get paid for it.
Yeah, that's true.
That's all they want. And all they want to do is have some fairness and equality. So, I would guess that there's a great majority of us that would really wish the election was over now.
Yeah, quite honestly, this is the most invested I think I've been in a political cycle like this. But this is also the first political cycle of this nature that I've worked in a job that I do like now, mm-hmm. where we are so involved in it because that is the news. That is the news cycle 24/7. So this is right. What all the reporters are talking about. And being right. that we correspond with them so much, that is also becoming our talking point slowly. And I've never really been this knee deep into something like this before. Mm-hmm. And it's, on one hand, it's incredibly fascinating. It's on the other hand, incredibly infuriating. And on another point, I'm going to throw a party on the day after Election Day because of it is finally over.
Yeah, no matter who wins, it's over.
It's over.
Well, what are you going to talk about then when it's all over, though? That's good.
I'm going to talk about how glorious it was to turn the TV on and not hear someone talking about it.
No, they're all going to be talking about it the day after. And then after that,
really do hope when she gets elected, though, she really does do something about this. I know you guys, this is something that's close to your heart. I really do hope she does something about this student loan debt and how we can help our children get an education and not drive them into poverty for the rest of their life.
Preaching to the choir, Buck.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and it's basically a requirement now to get a job to have that degree. It's mm-hmm. the same. It's like having a high school diploma was back in the day.
And what's unfortunate about that is it's becoming no longer acceptable to even get that 2-year associate's or go to a tech school and get a specialized equivalent of an associate's degree in a specific type of training, essentially, unless you literally go into the trades.
Yeah.
Because of it's to the point now where they are looking for a 4-year degree. You can't even go into the police academy for the county here in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have either an associate's degree plus being like a certain age or a bachelor's degree, which is the equivalent of literally the associates and waiting 2 more years.
Exactly.
Wow.
And that may be something to look into when we talked about over these 4,000 police officers jobs that are available here. What really is the requirement to even take these jobs?
Yeah, yeah, that could definitely be a subject for another day. But unfortunately, we are at the end of it.
Yeah.
But who's your guest coming on later?
We have Mary Romer. She's the deputy attorney for the National Labor Relations Board out of Detroit. And we're going to talk about Section 7 of the Act and workers' rights.
Sounds good, Buck. We'll catch you later.
Take care. God bless you. Thanks for what you do, ladies.
And that was Buck Gino of Work in Progress Radio. I'm Brittany Sheets here with Angela Bachman, and you've been listening to The Union Edge, Labor's Talk Radio.